Last Sunday, if you were here, you have heard some tough words from Matthew's gospel that we did not expect to hear on the first Sunday of Advent. You remember, Jesus talked last Sunday about the end times, the apocalyptic scenario. It's like the thing that we have always seen in Hollywood movie, and the judgment coming and the Christ's imminent return. If you remember the text there last Sunday, calling us to the end of times and the last days of living on this earth. Well, today's second Sunday of Advent, that same gospel of Matthew is bringing us yet another tough words to swallow. Yet they were very clear, straightforward message, calling for repentance, calling for changing of hearts, calling us to reprioritize and reevaluate the way we see Advent and Christmas. So my hope and prayer as we dive in and dig deeper into the Word of God this morning, that we will be open and be receptive to what the Spirit is telling us, that perhaps God is calling us this morning to have a different kind of Christmas. Let us pray. Holy God, I thank you for this body of Christ gathered here on this holy ground. I want to thank you for those that are in person and those that are listening with us online. Help us, O God, as we listen to your word. With all the distractions the world offers, help us to focus our hearts and our minds solely to you and what you're going to say to us. For this, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When you hear the word Christmas, I'm very sure that many of us here will somehow go into what we call as memory lane, evoking a lot of different things in your minds about how we celebrate Christmas. It's overflowing with meaning and memories. Just the thought of saying Christmas is coming evokes emotional responses in us. And we cannot help it because it's coming. Maybe our minds are filled with hopeful anticipation. Anticipation of the giving of the exchanging of gifts and Christmas tree and decorations and filling our calendars. And gathering together as families and friends. I heard, you know, and all different kinds of social media and watching all the things popping up in my Facebook, all these different gathering togethers, both here and my loved ones and my friends. Even now, even my wife Judy and the girls are also having their own event there in the Philippines. But on the other hand, some people don't look forward to the coming of Christmas at all. Instead of harboring a hopeful anticipation, their hearts are feeling with kind of dreadfulness. Sort of like a blue Christmas hanging over. Have you heard the term blue Christmas before? That's why there is a service called Blue Christmas. We had that in previous churches that I served. It's because there are people during this season that they're feeling some great loss, battling a level of depression and loneliness. This may be the time wherein they will no longer be with their loved ones at the dinner table or around the tree or in their homes. Or some of them are trying to bounce back from some great disappointments or facing those big concerns, just like what we are hearing from our concerns a while ago. Some in the hospital, some will be in the nursing home, some will be in a funeral home. For me personally, it's kind of a combination of both joy and sad. Judy and the girls are in Asia right now, and I will be by myself together with my mother-in-law celebrating our Christmas. And I'm joyful because for the first time, Judy and the girls will be celebrating their Christmas in the Philippines, but I will not be there with them. So we have all these kind of things wrapping up in our thoughts and in our minds about meaning and memories of Christmas. And here we are now, the lectionary invites us to a whole new dimension of an awareness about what Christmas is. We enter into this story of a very interesting character named John the Baptist. And I prefer to call him more like a John the Baptizer because he is gung-ho about baptizing people during his time at the River Jordan. He's doing this preparation for the coming ministry of Jesus, and he does that with style. He's the guy who's out there in the wilderness. He dressed so strangely. He eats those weird foods. Have you all eaten those weird foods? Locusts and honey. He lived off the land, but he was there baptizing at the river, proclaiming a powerful message. The changing truth that the Messiah was coming. And it's time to get ready. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world is on his way. The long-promised Savior who would rescue the people of Israel from its sin. John believed what the world's only hope for, that the Savior was about to come. And with him would come the whole kingdom of heaven. And so he dedicated his life preparing the way. That's why many biblical experts called him the forerunner. He was born ahead of Jesus. One person said to me this morning that he probably was born about 6 months ahead of Jesus, which might be right because he was the child of Elizabeth. As you all know, Elizabeth and Mary had this interaction together in the Bible. And so he was the forerunner because he came before Jesus and he was sent in advance to announce the coming. And the world must be getting ready for Jesus' arrival. And so this morning as we enter and deepen our understanding about the Word of God this morning, I strongly believe that God here is challenging us about our own assumptions and perceptions about Christmas. That it's not really about us. It's not about accumulating our stuffs or gift giving or even Santa Claus. It's much, much more than that. We're talking here about repentance and changing hearts and reprioritizing our lives and preparing the way for the coming of the one who is the Savior of the world. So the question for us this morning, how are we preparing the way? Or what does it mean to prepare the way of the Lord? What does it mean for us that to hear that, preparing the way of the Lord today? Well, the Gospel of Matthew invites us to three things that I think God wants us to prepare for this Christmas. He tells us very strong forward here. On the first part of the text, he said, repent. Repent. The gospel tells us that many people were going out to John and were baptized by him, confessing their sins. But guess what? There are others who were going out there also to see him for other reasons. And John saw into their hearts, and he did not like what he saw. Why do you think? Because he saw a sin that they were hiding away. They locked up to be kept in the safe, and that is the sin of presumption. Have you heard that term before? Presumption. They have Abraham as their ancestor. They think they have God on their side, that they are the chosen people of God, and that they don't need anything that has to do with what John is offering to them. They don't need the repentance. Let's stop there for a while and digest. And I think that we are going to be misreading this story if we don't see a little of us in the Pharisees and the Sadducees. I think we're going to misread this story if we don't see ourselves as those vipers. If you don't acknowledge a little of that same sin locked away, that sin of presumption, we might be tempted to think, what do we need to repent of? What do we need to change at all? What do we need to do to prepare our hearts for the coming of the Lord? And if we cannot think of anything, then we might be falling into that same trap of presuming that we don't have to make any changes in our lives before we come face to face with Jesus. We should be asking ourselves, and not anyone else, if we are bearing fruit worthy of repentance. Are we bearing fruit, good fruit in our lives today? Are we bearing the fruit of love and joy and peace? Are we bearing the fruit of patience and kindness and generosity? Are we bearing the fruit of faithfulness and gentleness and self-control? Are we bearing these things? What are some of the things that we need to work for? And what are some of the things that we know we can do better with? See, church, to honestly ask these questions is to do the hard work of the Advent. The work of repenting and clearing all of the messiness and the things that get in the way to help us prepare for the coming of the Lord. It's so easy for us to say, I'm coming to church every Sunday. I'm grounded in the Word of God, and I know for sure that I do this and this and that. And if we misread this story here and we don't see ourselves here, then I think that we are not going to be, we're ending up receiving on the message here of John that you brood of vipers. That's a very harsh, word from someone who called our attention on this season of Advent. Repent. That's the first thing that John said to those who have been hearing this word. And I'm sure that also the same word that God is saying to us today. But our move to repentance requires us to humble ourselves. True repentance begins with saying, I cannot. And it takes real humility to say, I cannot. When was the last time you said to God, Lord, I cannot? John calls the attention of those who are confident of their standing before God, like the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And church, we can fall into that trap too. Repenting means turning from our presumptions and turning toward to our Lord and Savior, saying, Lord, I cannot. And that takes humility and trust and a definitely lack of presumption. Amen? The Advent season, church, invites us to humbly say, Lord, I cannot do it myself. I cannot get ready for Christ's coming by my own effort. I need your help. And that does take humility. It means that we don't have to figure it out. It means that we don't have to climb our way up to heaven. It means that we don't have to make the world so perfect. We just have to release and surrender all of ourselves and give to Jesus and let Him do His work in and through us. We simply have to repent and die to our old ways of nature of ourselves and let Him raise us to new life. Let grace do its work for us. A great Lutheran theologian by the name of Richard Jensen, he puts it this way, and I quote, in repenting we ask the God who has turned toward us, buried us in baptism and raised us to new life, to continue His work of putting us to death. Repentance is an I cannot experience. The repentant person comes before God saying, I cannot do it myself. God, kill me and give me a new life. Bury me in baptism and bury me again today, raising me to new life. End of quote. And finally, as we close this word, John here challenged his people, those that have witnessed his baptism, and I'm sure God is challenging us here today that we need to come back to Jesus and proclaim the truth that there is one who is more powerful that is coming. John the baptizer is proclaiming here the truth that there is one who is more powerful than him who is coming, and that is the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And that he is proclaiming the coming Messiah who comes through the power of the Holy Spirit. Friends, as we gather into the table this morning, how are you preparing for Christmas? Are you doing this as the world dictates? Or are you going against the currents of this world, offering a kingdom lens? A kingdom lens that is based on forgiveness and repentance. A kind of Christmas that humble ourselves. A kind of Christmas that is centered around the Christ, who is the very reason for this season. Friends, as we gathered at the table, repentance, humbling ourselves and coming to Jesus, these are important steps to celebrate a different kind of Christmas and to really prepare us for the coming of the Savior of the world, our Messiah. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.